When you listen to the Ron Van Dam Show, he probably seems like the kind of guy you'd like to sit down and have a beer with. Except he's chronically antisocial, and beer makes him gassy. So it's probably better to just keep admiring him from a distance. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Well, what do you have to say for yourself now? Hey, how you doing? It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am Ron Van Dam. Let's get that straight to begin with. And now we can have an honest conversation. I have a very interesting program for you today. I do. I don't think I want to do it for you, but I do have one. So I went to the optometrist last week. Do you know what that is? It's the place where you get your eyes checked. Yeah, it's the kind of audience I have. Not everybody's on the same page. Yeah, I went to the optometrist, the doctor of eyes, and lovely lady. Her name is Anita. And I can't pronounce her last name because she's not from this country and has a lot of vowels and a lot of consonants, but very, very nice lady, is a very nice lady. So she checked my eyes, and she said, yep, they're still there, and that'll be $500. Whoa, hold on now. Now, she checked my eyes. She asked me to read an eye chart that was on the wall, and I said, what wall? What wall are you talking about? Is there a wall? She said, Ron, do you wear glasses when you're driving? I said, I don't even wear pants. So after I convinced security that they shouldn't throw me out, she continued the eye examination. And she said, can you read the top line? And I said, is that the one that's like all the way at the top or the one that's halfway down? Oh my God, this is going to take forever. I said, yeah, I'll read the top line. It's, I can't tell if it's a W or a 6. R? No. Is that a Z? It's an R. She says, what's the smallest line that you can read toward the bottom? I said, copyright 2002, iChart Industries, Reno, Nevada. She says, my God. She says, that's very, very good. I said, no, when I came in, I saw that on the bottom. I just remembered it. So, oh, my God. So, she says, your eyes are not so bad, but you haven't been here for about, we've noticed, 2.5 years. I said, well, there was this pandemic thing where I didn't want to go to a doctor's office so that I could read things for them off the wall. So, yeah, that was that's about a year of it. And the other part, I just really didn't go. Says, well, you know, we're going to give you a new prescription. So what do I want you to do? And then she put eye drops in my eyes, and I thought she was trying to seduce me, but I guess not. She put eye drops in my eye, and then she asked me to read all kinds of stuff. And I said, you just put eye drops in my eyes. I can't see anything at all. Are you even still in the room? Where am I, Dorothy? Am I in Kansas anymore? Where the hell is Toto? Anyway, so I think I did rather well on the eye test. She has me coming back next week in order to study and try to do the test again. After the eye test, there'll be a urine test. I don't know. I was up all night studying for that one. Oh, I'm always up all night with the urine test. So, guys, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I know. Anyway, she's a very, very nice lady. She went to eye school, which is... She went to eye school. She has an iPhone. She's a real optometrist. Everything has eye in front of it. It's pretty cool. She really knows what she's doing. She went to eye school. I should have gone to eye school. That would have been. I wouldn't have to do a radio show. I could be an optometrist and look into people's eyes all day. Who wants to? You know. I like doctors because they have the ability to fix you if you're broken or to make you feel better if you're not 100%. So I like doctors. They have to go through so much schooling, though. That's where I draw the line. I'm sorry. I went to school from like nursery school all the way up through high school, 12th grade. 12 years plus of that crap, sitting at a small little desk, listening to people go on and on and on about things that I didn't really care about. And I was stuck in there. You couldn't leave till the bell rang. Well, Pavlov's dogs. And then college. I went to 4 freaking years of college. It was more of the same, only this time I had to pay for it. It's one thing when school is free, then you have to pay to be a prisoner and listen to people talking. Oh, I'm paying for that. But doctors have to go to medical school. They have to learn about the human body. I mean, that's the one thing I don't really care for. I mean, I like my body. To some extent, it's starting to fail me, but I like it to some extent. But to sit there and learn about it, the body, it's like, ooh-wee. So to be a doctor, I respect that. To have that diploma on the wall. I don't care if you're a plumber or you work at McDonald's, put something on the wall. That's what doctors do. They put their diplomas on the wall. They go to school. They pay for it. They sit in the classroom for half their life and then try to pay off the tuition fees and stuff and the college tuition fee. Oh, my God. I mean, why is college so expensive? All you do is sit there and listen to somebody talk. Why is that so much money? How is that so much money? What is college like, $40,000 a year? Are you serious? Are you kidding me? To sit in a room with dozens of other people, sometimes hundreds of other people, listening to a person just babble on and on and on about some subject matter, that's $40,000? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That's like buying a luxury car every year. That's too much money. These poor people that go to school, man. It's like, did you get a good job? I don't know. It was $40,000 a year for 4 years. That's $160,000 plus books and all these extra fees. And now I think someday I can be assistant manager at Wendy's. Oh, this isn't right. So, you know, doctors, man, they just, they have to learn all about things. And then they spend the rest of their lives checking people out and being really close to them. Doctors have to be close to the patients and listen to their complaints. My shoulder hurts. My legs hurt. I can't see. Doctors have to put up with that crap. Wow. Optometrist. She's right in my face. She's in my face. She took this gigantic machine and she put it right to my face. Oh, God. Don't you understand there's a pandemic going on, or there was, or I don't know what it is. Get your face away from me. God. Doctors probing me and shoving tubes up my ass to see if I have polyps in my colon or whatever that thing is. All these machines that probe me. I feel like an alien has landed from outer space and is just probing me to figure out what the hell I am. So she's... Then comes a part of the optometry exam. Are we still on that? There comes the part of the exam where she puts these... she asked me to... some kind of device on my head, and she changes the lenses continually, and she says, which is better? Is this better? This better? This better now? Better this? Better this? How about this one or this one? This one? This one? How about this one? How about this? This one? This? How about this? This one? How about this one? This? This? How about this? How about this? Better this? Better? Worse? Better? 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 How about this? How about this? How about better? Worse? Do we have some... Isn't there some kind of machine that they just like... You put your head up to the machine and the machine like spits out a digital reading saying, all right, that's 20/50. Your vision is 20/50. Do we have to go through that archaic little dance? How about, what's this better? 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 How about this? This better? Is it this better? Better? How about this? How about, can you read the top? Can you read the bottom line? Can you read this? How about this? How about the better? Better? How about this? Better? Is it this better? 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 Okay, now let's do the other eye. Better? How about better? Is it this better? 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 Just worse? Worse? Better? 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 How about this? How about this? How about this? How about this? How about this one or this one? This one? This one? How about this one? This? How about this one? How about this one? This one? Better? This? The better? Finally, she gives me a prescription, and that's about it. She says, I'll see you in a year. Well, it's probably going to be 3 years, but whatever. And I have to go back there for, I don't know what for. I have no idea. I think I left my hat there. I have to go back for some reason. I don't know why. I really don't understand why I have to go back. Anyway, so that's it. So then I go to the eyeglass place. I went to Costco. They have eyeglasses there. Notice everything at Costco is a skid. It's like you have to buy 500 of anything. The eyeglasses, you can just get one eye. You can just get one pair of glasses. Here we go with the pair again. What's with this pair of glasses? It's glasses, man. Nobody says, well, no, I don't want a whole pair of glasses. I just want one side, please. The doctor said that my left side is not perfect, so I just need the left side, please. I don't need the whole frame, just half the frame. That's all I a pair of glasses. Wait, two eyeglasses? No, one. One is a pair. Oh, this is confusing. Now, at Costco, I thought that at Costco you would have to get like 50 pairs of glasses because that's the way they sell everything. Glasses for the whole family, for the whole neighborhood. I'm buying glasses for everybody. So I go in there. And they're very, very nice at the Costco eyeglass place. And she says, we have a special. If you get a second pair of glasses, it's $30 off. I said, well, how much is each pair of glasses? That's $200. I said, okay, well, $30 is not exactly a big deal. But so I get the two pairs of glasses. They tell you, in case you lose one pair of glasses, you got to have another pair. Well, I guess that's why I have two pairs of pants. No other reason, really. Where are my pants? It's okay. I've got another pair. Don't worry about it. Anyway, life is a pair of pants. I don't know the rest of the analogy, but it just is. So, yeah, so a week later, my glasses are ready. I got a phone call from Costco. They usually don't call me. They usually don't call me for any reason. But they called me and they said, Ron, your glasses are ready. And I thought, oh, wow. Wow, is it both pair? How is it? How many lenses are involved in two pairs of glass? Four lenses? Are they all there? Yes, Mr. Van Damme. So I go in there in the glass, and they fit the glasses to my head. They made some adjustments on my head, not the glasses. The glasses were perfect. It was my head that needed adjusting. So. And they said, well, how are the glasses, Ron? And I looked around, you know, I looked around. I said, my God, I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. I can see everything so clearly. And then I looked at the lady that was giving me the glasses. And, ooh, Jesus, you're ugly. Did not realize that. Yeah, it was pretty cool. So now... I have glasses. Yeah. I don't really need them, to be honest with you. The only thing I need them for is to see. Yeah, that's what it is. No, I don't wear glasses. If I have to read something, it does make it a lot clearer and I don't have to squint to read it. And it's not so bad. It's not so bad, I suppose. I did a show about this a while ago, about the glasses, and when I was going to school back in 1527, when I was going to school, they called people with glasses four eyes. And I said, oh, that's very, very cruel to call somebody, like you have two eyes and glasses give you another two eyes, that would be four. This is like math. They would call people four eyes, and glasses made people ugly and look really dorky and studious and all that stuff. And, you know, when in the movies, they have the librarian who has the hair in the bun, and women have that too. You know, the hair is in the bun, and they look really like studious and dorky, and nobody will take a second look at them, no dates for them, no one's going to even talk to them. And then and they're wearing like librarian glasses, these horn-rimmed glasses, the rims of a horn. And then they get very, very sexy and horny, and their hair comes down out of the bun, and the glasses go whipping off, and now they're beautiful. So the stigma was that glasses are really not a pretty thing. And then came the 2000s, and glasses became sexy and hot. Women who wear glasses now look are attractive. Sure, when they take their glasses off, it's maybe a little bit of a step up, but not much. The glasses make them very attractive. So glasses are really in for two reasons. One, because they're not, you know, they're all different styles of glasses. Sunglasses, man, those are really hot, right? When you see somebody wearing sunglasses, oh, you're cool. You are the coolest thing on earth. That's just because they're tinted? But they're glasses. How are they the coolest thing on earth? I don't get it now. Because they're sunglasses, they're cool. If they're not sunglasses, they're not cool. What the hell? No, glasses are very sexy now. Some people wear glasses where they're not even a prescription lens. They just... that's because we're starting to get turned on by intelligence. And it's about time that we were turned on by intelligence. Dorks, they're richer than you are now. They're more successful. They own companies. They're programming shit. You don't even know what they're programming. You know you need them. You don't know what they do, but you know you need them. Dorks are now very, very high on the chain of amazing people. So everything's flipped. Do you wear glasses? No, I don't. What are you, stupid? What are you, stupid? You don't. You look so stupid without glasses. Put the glasses on. Look intelligent for a change. It's true. It's true. It's very true. Try it sometime when you go out on a date with somebody you don't know if you're in that kind of dating situation, wear glasses. You're going to be very successful. It's going to work out really well. Okay, fine. Do you wear glasses, by the way? I can't see you. I can't see you. It's a radio show. I don't know what the hell you're doing. I have a guest who is going to astound you. My guest is a contortionist who will be putting himself in a small box and contorting his body down to the size of a tiny suitcase. I don't have that guest. I just think that would be fascinating. It's like having a mime on a radio show. It's not, you can't see. I am now making believe that I am pulling on a rope, although I am not, but I'm pulling on the rope. Now I'm stuck in a box. I cannot get out. No matter which movement I make, I apparently cannot get out of the box. Wow, that's an incredible mime for radio. Yes. Look, I am holding a balloon and it's about to pull me into the air. Oh, look, one of my feet is leaving the ground. I am holding on to a balloon in a box in which I cannot get out as I pull on a rope. And that's about the extent of what I do. Wow, that's a talent. You don't need $40,000 a year for college education to do the stuck in a box thing. Okay, my guest joins me momentarily. But first, though, we have to take a commercial break for a number of reasons. I just don't know what they are. I'm so thirsty.
Let others say that water is just water.
Aquamira.
Each bottle of Aquamira, all-natural, artisanal, gourmet lifestyle water, Aquamira, contains only the finest hand-selected waters, gently and sustainably culled from free-range, certified glacial streams in fair trade countries.
Aquamira.
Skillfully aged in stainless steel, cruelty-free tanks, and quintuple filtered according to age-old Nepalese watersmithing techniques.
Aquamira.
Each non-GMO serving of Aquamira all-natural artisanal gourmet lifestyle water is allergen-free, safe for use on pets, and contains zero trans fats.
Aquamira.
Yes, let others say that water is just water. For the true discerning connoisseur, there is only one. There is only
Aquamira.
Find Aquamira water in handy 42 packs in the beverage section of your local convenience store, liquor store, or gas station. Free bottle with every purchase of a Take This Job and Shove It lottery scratch-off ticket while supplies last. Aquamira all-natural gourmet lifestyle water is bottled by the overarching beverage conglomeration corporation, LLC.
Azar Ibrahim joins us now. He is an expert, he's a paleontologist, which is, I've never met one of those before. Thank you for letting me meet you. How you doing today?
Not too bad. Thanks so much for having me.
I've heard the term dinomania 1,000 times, and it's intrigued me every single time. This is dinosaurs just fascinate us. And I guess right now it's coming around again.
Yes, that's right. I mean, I think we humans always have this lingering fascination with dinosaurs all the time, right? I mean, they're in movies and books and exhibits.
Yes, yes.
We just love dinosaurs. And it's actually quite interesting trying to figure out why, you know, what is it about dinosaurs? And so National Geographic basically decided to celebrate this love affair we have with dinosaurs,
yes,
by starting a month-long celebration of all things dinosaurs, Dinomania.
Yeah, well, Dinomania has the month May in the middle, so it makes a lot of sense, I suppose. Just as a fact, I think over half of the population of the United States, and I'm making this up, but I think it's true, thinks that humans and dinosaurs existed at the same time. We see it in cartoons, therefore it must be true. We see it in movies. Not necessarily the case. Not the case. Is that true?
Yeah, humans and dinosaurs are separated by many, many millions of years. So unless you're watching the Flintstones, you're not going to get this coexistence of humans and dinosaurs. But of course, mammals were around when the dinosaurs lived. They lived in the shadows of the dinosaurs, mm-hmm. tiny little furry mammals. But they never really got a chance to, you know, grow big and kind of take over the world. And it's only after the dinosaurs went extinct that mammals got their lucky break mm-hmm. and eventually gave rise to mammals like us.
If we never existed together and there are millions of years between us, I assume that as what you do for a living, it must be exciting to find the bones of something well before humans ever walked the earth.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, dinosaurs are just so amazing. You know, they kind of push the boundaries of, you know, biomechanics, for example. Uh-huh. Dinosaurs include the largest land animals ever to live. And so it's a bit like working on, you know, mythological dragons, except that these creatures were real, right? And so it's always a real thrill when you're excavating a fossil. You're seeing something, you know, you get this glimpse into a lost world. And it really is like traveling to an alien planet. It's absolutely amazing.
I can imagine. How tall was the tallest dinosaur, just to put it in perspective?
Well, the tallest dinosaur would have been about 16 or 17 meters tall. So that's over 50 feet in
Whoa.
Height.
Wow.
And over 90 feet in length. And the heaviest dinosaurs would have weighed something like 80 or 90 tons.
Oh my God.
So that's essentially the weight of an entire herd of elephants.
Wow.
So it's really mind-blowing. And they were incredibly sophisticated because, you know, when you look at their skeletons, you know, they have all these anatomical features that allow them to kind of reduce their weight. You know, they have specialized bones. Some of them had special air sacs. Allowing for better breathing. So they were not, you know, kind of evolutionary dead ends. They were really successful animals. And one branch of the dinosaur tree survived the mass extinction event, and these dinosaurs are still all around us, and we call them birds.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And it's amazing. So, I mean, once I learned that fact a while ago, I've never looked at birds the same way. That's actually true. But we're talking about birds that were like gigantic size when they were birds, I assume.
Well, so birds really, the bird story begins with relatively small predatory dinosaurs,
yeah.
And they had feathers. It turns out that many dinosaurs actually had feathers.
Oh.
If you like, dinosaurs, quote-unquote, invented feathers.
Wow.
So we have feathered dinosaurs, you know, with big tail feathers, and we think of feathers as quintessential bird features, but they originally evolved for a different purpose because these animals were not flying. They may have used them for insulation to stay warm,
right.
Maybe for display, like a peacock's tail. And so that's pretty amazing. So they were relatively small animals, and that's what allowed them to survive the mass extinction event. Small birds made it through the extinction event, and they're still around today. And there are more bird species than mammal species in the world today. So in some ways, we're still living in an age of dinosaurs.
Wow. Yeah. I assume that there are millions of facts about dinosaurs that I probably don't even know. And I know that National Geographic Kids is, as you say, celebrating it this particular month and probably always. How do we engage in this land of dinosaurs that just thrill us for some reason? How do we actually engage as far as National Geographic is concerned?
Well, so if you check out the National Geographic Dinomania website, you'll find all sorts of things. There are many different National Geographic Kids books on dinosaurs. They have an amazing selection of dinosaur books. I work on some of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a design a dino contest. You can learn lots and lots about the latest research on dinosaurs. So lots of things to do and discover on the website. But then, of course, you know, books, I would say, are the best way to really enter this incredible world of dinosaurs. That's how my love affair with dinosaurs started. And of course, go to your local museum. You know, many museums have, you know, had to shut their doors
yes.
during the pandemic, and you know, they're going through difficult times. But they're amazing places. These are the places where you can discover this lost world. And if you're not in a museum, then the book is really the next best thing. You know, and kids connect with dinosaurs in a really powerful way, as I'm sure you know.
They sure do.
There's just something irresistible about these dragons from deep time.
Yes. Well, anything that fascinates kids in an interesting, factual way is wonderful, and it does. Dinosaurs are kind of the gateway to wonderment for children, so it plays an important role.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, because with dinosaurs, you've got biology, anatomy, geology, because we find fossils in the rocks. You even have some extraterrestrial science, because, you know, an asteroid brought the end of, the age of the dinosaurs to an end. There's some chemistry. We're using chemistry to reconstruct things like the color of dinosaur eggs. So it really is a gateway to science, absolutely.
And once more, the website where we can find this gateway.
It's NepioKids. Dinomania, that's your go-to place for anything dinosaurs this month.
Great. Well, thanks for bringing it to our attention. Great speaking to you, and we appreciate it. Well, that will do it for me today. You have been a wonderful person to do a show for. But I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, well, I wish you peace.